topical message, and the theme is Christian missions. So my goal is that we would all become a little bit more confident in what the Bible teaches about missions, and that we would also be more excited about knowing that as a church and individuals, we have a role to play. So to begin in this introduction, I want to offer the context, biblical context for Christian missions. Then I'm going to offer a definition, and then I'll give you the outline of what we're going to do today. So the following three texts offer a biblical context for Christian missions. These are Genesis 1, Isaiah 66, and then Matthew 28. In Genesis 1, God reveals his will for the world. Isaiah 66 shows us where all of history is going. And then Matthew 28 teaches us how to live in the in-between the Genesis 1 command and then where all of history is going in Isaiah 66. And so in Genesis 1, God reveals his plans for the earth. He made a creature, human beings, in his image. And he commands them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and have dominion. So this is my paraphrase. As my image bearers, you are my physical representation on the earth. Rule as I rule. And as you multiply, fill, and rule the earth, you extend my rule. You increase my worship, and you fill the earth with my glory. Genesis 1 reveals God's will for the earth. Then Isaiah 66, verses 22 and 23, reveal where all of history is going. We read, for as the new heavens and the new earth, and in verse 23, from Sabbath to Sabbath, all flesh shall come to worship before me, declares the Lord. So Genesis 1 and Isaiah 66 reveal God's plan for an earth full of human beings that worship him. Today, the church is in between this original commandment and its fulfillment. Humanity has multiplied. It has filled the earth. However, the world is marked by sin. Humanity's dominion does not reflect God's truth, his justice, his goodness, his love, his mercy. So Jesus commissions the church to fulfill the command of Genesis 1. In Matthew 28, 19 and 20, he says, make disciples of all nations. This is the Christian version of Genesis 1, 28. Be fruitful and multiply by making disciples to fill the world with God worshippers. So that was the context, the biblical context for Christian missions. Now, here's a definition. I kind of made this up, so if I'm wrong, please come talk to me. I think it's good, but otherwise I wouldn't be up here. But feel free to talk to me about it if you have issues with it. Christian missions seeks the numerical growth of God's global church. Okay? Christian missions seeks the numerical growth of God's global church. Missions is obeying God in proclaiming the gospel to see him grow his church. This is how people become Christians. Sin is our biggest problem. Our sins make us liable to judgment. Christian good news is that God has made a way for sinners in Christ to experience forgiveness of sins and to be saved from God's coming judgment. So the storyline of the Bible and specific texts teach us that God wants more people to experience salvation from his judgment against sin. And so Christian missions spreads the good news of Jesus that more people would 7, and in Acts 14, 21 and 23. So 2:23, so that's the first point where we will look at Christian missions. Second, we will look at the role of mercy ministries. And then third, I'll end with lots of applications and how we can get involved. So first we look at Acts 2, 41 to 47 and 14, 21 to 23 to understand biblical mission. So our first text, Acts 2, 41 to 47, we're going to see that counterintuitively, to reach the world, we need to focus inwardly. Acts 2:47 concludes the summary of the simple church activities this way. And the Lord added to their number, day by day, those who are being saved. So my thesis is that if we practice the activities of Acts 2:41-46, we become a missions organization. And we can trust that God, in His timing, will grow His church. So these are the simple practices from Acts 2:41-46. The first element is baptism. Verse 41 reads, those who received His word were baptized. The second element is devotion to the apostles' teachings. Verse 42. The third element is devotion to the fellowship. Verse 42. This is where most ink is given to this, the devotion to the fellowship. In verses 44 and 45 describes the love and the sacrificial care that Christians had for one another. They were selling belongings and meeting the needs of those in the church community. Their devotion to one another worked itself out in hospitality. We read in verse 46 that day by day they were meeting in the temple and also going from home to home, breaking bread. They were enjoying meals in each other's homes. The fourth element is the breaking of the bread. This is a specific phrase in Acts 2:42 that refers to the Lord's Supper. The fifth element is prayer, verse 42. And the sixth element that we see in two places is awe and praise. So in the text, rather than it being gathering for worship with songs, it's just the result of being active in a community where God is at work. So from a missions perspective, Acts 2:41-47 teaches that the Lord adds to His global church through simple ministries in a local church. The church in Acts 2 was devoted to God. They were devoted to one another. And then in verse 47, the result was this kind of church finds favor with outsiders. The Lord added to their number. So this is not a magical formula. This is not this will happen every week or anything like that. But it is a general principle for Christian missions. The definition is to see numerical growth. We see that in verse 47. The Lord is adding to their number. The church grows through simple ministries. So I've been using that word simple a lot. Simple does not mean easy. They are simple because they don't require fancy equipment. They don't require human ingenuity. They do not require a lot of money. Everyone can do this. Acts 2:41-47. Simple does not mean easy. By everyone, I mean everyone, no matter where you find yourself in the world, the church can practice these practices. But simple does not mean easy. your devices and enjoy being in Acts 2, 41-47 community. When the church is devoted to God's word, prayer, and the sacraments, and to one another, the Lord adds to the church. Application. Acts 2, 41-47, even as we have planted this church, it has really served as a template for church planting, for me, anyway. Luke includes quite a few summaries in the beginning of the book of Acts that summarize the practices of the early church, as if he's doing more than just offering us a historical account. It's almost like by repeating these different practices, he's teaching us, even 2,000 years later, this is what the church did, so maybe so should we. They are part of Luke's strategy to teach us how to operate. If a church practices Acts 2, 41-47, it is a missions organization. It is an evangelistic society. So I'm going to examine a little bit how this has worked out for us with our worship services and also our community groups. But I could have also spoken about youth group, women's ministry, pub theology, or how as individuals we host one another. First, our worship service, our mission-minded and evangelistic. So we try for our worship service, and as I say this in public, it means you can hold us accountable. But we want our worship services to be gospel-shaped, gospel-focused, gospel-saturated. The announcement of the gospel glorifies God, it edifies the saints, and it is God's power for salvation to those who do not believe yet. So in our worship services, we try to be devoted to God, His Word, the sacraments, and prayer as well. Now, our community groups are also Christian missions. We hope that they are the kind of environments in which we can feel free to invite unbelievers. Maybe we haven't done that yet, but we hope that is the kind of environment where that can be possible. The goal is that, you know, you can go up to a stranger and try to share the gospel if you want. It's great. It's a noble endeavor if you want to go that way. But the goal with these community groups as evangelistic is you get to invite them. They get to witness the power of the gospel in a transformed community where the saints gather, eat together, pray together, care for one another, pray and study the Bible together to grow in grace together. So all of this is how we focus inwardly, and according to Acts 2:47, we're able to reach people in that way. We're devoted to God, we're devoted to one another. Now I'm going to look at Acts 14, verses 21-23, and we see the outward focus of missions. We looked at this text in depth a few weeks ago, and it was really the summary of Paul's first missionary journey. We read in verse 21 that they preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples. Then they returned to Lystra and Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples. And when they had appointed elders for them in every church with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. And so this text summarizes missions as three things: making converts, strengthening them, and then appointing elders, which is also, I think you could replace that with church planting. Once you've appointed elders, you have established a church. So, implications for us. So, Acts 2, 41-47 focused inwardly on church health for church growth. And now, Acts 14, 21-23, Paul is starting new Acts 2, 41-47 communities around the world. So we could summarize missions as worldwide healthy church development. So we want to see our church be healthy, and we want to support the health of other churches as well. We want to see new healthy churches getting started, and we also want to help, we want to support churches that are hurting. This can include supporting persecuted churches, also those hit by a natural disaster, famine, or war. You remember in Acts 11, we saw that when the church in Jerusalem heard of a new church plant in Antioch, they sent Barnabas to strengthen that church. By the end of the chapter, this church had grown, and they had heard that there was a famine in Jerusalem, and so now they were supporting that church for their own church health. So, the goal of missions is to see the numerical growth of God's global church. It happens when the church is devoted to God and to one another through simple ministries, and when churches want to see more healthy churches around them. Second point. Now I want to talk a little bit about mercy ministries. And the two verses I'm going to be looking at are Matthew 5:16 and then Luke 10, verse 9. So I want to address mercy ministries because so far in this vision of Christian missions, it's been quite narrow. And so I assume that most assume that missions includes a lot more than simply healthy church development. So let's talk about mercy ministries. Mercy ministries focus on meeting physical needs. In his ministry, Jesus healed the sick, he cast out demons, he fed the 5,000. And so as we follow Jesus, Christians want to love those around them. God is love, and so Christians must love, period. So when it comes to church mercy ministries, there are probably two extremes. Some churches focus so much on feeding the hungry, helping the poor, that they neglect spiritual needs. Other churches focus on saving souls without much consideration for human suffering. Our choice is never truth or love. They must always come together. And so I'm going to look at those two verses that I mentioned. First, Matthew 5:16. Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. And then Luke 10:9, Jesus says, heal the sick and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. And so Matthew 5:16 and Luke 10:9 show that good works give credibility to the announcement of the gospel. Jesus did both those things. He announced the reign of God, and then he proved the reign of God in his ministry. He cast out demons, he healed the sick, he calmed the storm, he announced the forgiveness of sins, he rose from the dead. These works demonstrate the reign of God. Jesus was reversing the consequences of sin and also giving us a glimpse of the world to come. And so when we see a gap in our world between what we see today and the world as it will be in the new heavens and new earth, we have an opportunity. When we can work to fill a need to prove the kingdom of God has come near, when we feed the hungry, we announce there will be no hunger in the new heavens and new earth. When the church helps the sick, it announces that the kingdom of God is near. There will be no sickness in the new heavens and new earth. So now every church is different. No church can do everything. But mercy ministries can fit in Christian missions. Our church can choose a need in our part of Brussels. We can announce by word and confirm by deed that the kingdom of God has come near. The goal is that more people come to know Christ and be involved in an Acts 2, 41 to 44. So I want to end with an illustration, and then I want to give lots of examples, and then just end with the reason for missions. And so first, this is an illustration. This is a real church that was planted in 2016 in the U.S. They were a small group of people who wanted to reach their community with the good news of Jesus, and they also had their eyes on the nations. But instead of planning a huge missions trip, that's a trip where you go to a different part of the world to share the gospel or to meet physical needs, they decided to ask an established church if they could join theirs. And so they did that, and they went to East Timor. On their trip, they met a young man named Julio, who aspired, he wanted to be a pastor, but he lacked training. And so what this church decided to do was to sponsor Julio to get theological training. Now, fast forward May 2023. I read this on the Gospel Coalition, so it's pretty up to date. It's a real story. I thought it was pretty cool. But just mid last year, he completed his pastoral training, and now he's a pastor in East Timor. And this pastor they sponsored is working on a team that's translating the Bible in Makassar. It's one of many tribal languages in East Timor that does not yet have a Bible translation. Titus is now the first completed biblical book in Makassar. So this is a little story, a story about a little church from South Louisiana that in their journey on how they started to participate in world mission. So I share this story to illustrate there are no single paths to being involved in world missions. I don't think we're going to have the exact same story, but little steps can turn into something big. So now we'll see ways that we can be intentional about missions. From the first page of the Bible to the last, God shows that he longs for a humanity that fills the earth, worshiping him. In a world of sin, the only way we can worship him is by his grace, and as he saves sinners through faith in Christ. Jesus did something amazing. The second person of the Trinity became a human being. He was rejected, betrayed, beaten, tried, spat on, humiliated, crucified, and he took the world's sins. He died for sin, he rose from the dead to show that he had paid the wage of sin in full. All who believe this message have eternal life. This is a life marked by the fruit of the Spirit, and a life marked by devotion to God and to people. God's love changes us so that we now long to live for him. Our desire is to see the worship of God multiply and fill the earth through healthy local church development. As a church, there are many small and big ways that we can be involved in Christian mission. So first, small ways, and these are more individual. Participate in an Acts 2:41-47 church community. The church that follows this model is a missions organization, and they are an evangelistic society. Become a member. Make Sunday worship a priority. If you can, be involved in a community group, which is such a great context for Christian living, to receive care, to care for others, to grow in Christ. Practice hospitality. And here, parents, include your children. Try to share with them the value that you have in being a member of a church. Lastly, I don't think this is the second time I'm going to say this, so please take it seriously. Give financially to your local church. If you are a member of a church that has a budget, you get to vote on how money is spent. So you get to have a voice in church missions in that way. So that was simple individual ways as individuals that you can already begin to participate in world missions following Acts 2:41-47. So we start simple. Now let's dream big for a little bit. For this next focus on applying Acts 14, 21 to 23 to us as a church. We can support the development of healthy churches outside of ourselves. And so something that we would love to do is start a missions committee. So if you've never heard of this, probably going to do a I'm probably not going to explain it well enough, and it will need more explaining. But this would be a committee made up of members in the church who serve under the oversight of the elders who would help our church with our mission strategy. This strategy could include financial giving, prayer, correspondence with missionaries or other churches that we want to be involved with, and even going to serve, giving up time, energy, and all of that. This committee would also be responsible to keep the church posted on our partnerships. So here are some ideas on how a church, our church, could be involved. So first, our denomination, the International Presbyterian Church, currently has lots of like-minded church plants in Europe. So we could choose to support one financially, to pray for that church, to correspond with that church, even visit that church. We could also, or alternatively, decide that we want to focus on Brussels. There is a Bible Institute in Brussels. We could investigate if they have any needs. There is a French-speaking worship ministry that writes good biblical songs for the church. Ta Parole that we sang earlier today was a song that they wrote here in Brussels. This ministry may have needs. There are ministries that serve students in universities that may need, may have needs. There are also ministries in the city that feed the hungry. So we could volunteer our time to declare the nearness of God's kingdom. We can also think more globally in supporting organizations that participate indirectly in church planting. These could be institutions that train pastors or organizations that produce discipleship material or Bible translation organizations and or other ministries that focus on supporting the persecuted church all around the world. Okay, so there are too many great ideas and we can't do it all, and that's what a missions committee would do. They would investigate, pray, and see and what could be appropriate for our church. So we are a small church with a small budget, but we do want to be devoted to missions. And so please, if you're interested in this missions committee idea, please talk to me or Daniel, and we'll talk. All right, final note. I just want to end with our motivation, because it may seem like I'm putting a lot on you of do-do-do, but this is our motivation. My first pastor said these verses are the definition of what a Christian is. Okay, ready? 1 Peter 1, verses 8 and 9. Though you have not seen Jesus, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So when we talk about Christian missions, we are talking about the propagation of this joy that is inexpressible. Christians share the gospel that more would know that joy. The gospel is the greatest gift that we could ever offer anyone.